It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager for APCO Holdings. Today, I'm being joined by Mike Boyd. Mike, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So, Mike, before we get into this podcast, which is going to be titled Navigating the Future, tell us a little bit about you and what got you to this point in your career.
It's a very interesting story, so I'll try to cliff note it, but I started out chasing bumpers, as we would call it in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, but selling cars roughly 30 years ago, and then worked my way up to multi-store management. And then from that perspective, because really I've done pretty much every role at the dealership, you know, from acquiring to management and fixed ops, the whole nine yards, it was from that perspective and seeing the opportunity of using technology and how it was changing and affecting that job to be done of buying and selling cars that I created iRecon Cars, which is a, you know, reconditioning platform that was, I later sold to Cox Automotive, became part of the team of Viato, and then moved on from there to where I currently am, where I'm the managing director of AMT Technologies, which is Repair 360 and Recon Pro.
Wow. That's really, really
cool.
There's
a lot of things that happen in between those little steps, but that's the Cliff Note version.
I appreciate the Cliff Note. That's impressive. So tell us a bit about Repair on Demand and how you created an end-to-end solution for diagnostics, reconditioning, and repair of vehicles.
Yeah, no, it's a super interesting opportunity because when you think about reconditioning, you know, everything at a dealership revolves around buying and selling cars. And it's from buying and selling cars that we get cars to recondition through service. And it's through interacting with our own people as well as external third parties that we get that job done, right? And if everybody works together, then we all make money and we just keep growing and, you know, raising the bar. So what is so interesting and exciting about Repair on Demand, which is a portfolio of companies, really, that were brought together. And in the last couple of years, we've been working on how do we get them to work together? So being able to use, like, for example, our Blue Driver Max, which is a diagnostic scan tool, you know, the OBD2 for dealers. How do we use that information, not just as part of fixed ops, but also as part of the appraisal process? And what does that mean? And then, of course, using that information to help make those decisions as part of the, you know, Repair 360, which would be that overall reconditioning management tool that interacts with all those interested parties. And then how do we connect up with the, what we call the repair exchange? Because I mean, there's 16,000 plus vendors, technicians using our software to do their job, which is to repair, you know, and do different jobs as part of the reconditioning process. How do we connect up with them in a meaningful way to add value on both sides? And that's that end-to-end ecosystem that dealers have been searching for since I got in the business 30 years ago. And that's what's so exciting because now we're actually bringing it to market and making that a reality.
So I really like this. So let's dive into more of this. So your materials say your repairer network is 16,000 repairers strong, right? Yeah. Why did you build the repair network and how will it benefit reconditioners and repairers?
Yeah, no, huge benefit and really good question. So as I mentioned, you have Recon Pro, you also have Mobile Tech RX. Well, those are two of our holdings, two of our software. So those third-party vendors, but also internal technicians use those software. So that's that 16,000 plus strong and growing network of service providers across the United States. So when you think about all these dealerships that are buying and selling cars, they are interacting with the people using our software without ever knowing it. So, which then leads to, okay, so if you have these technicians, these vendors using our software because they see the benefit, right, to be able to manage their day-to-day, to eliminate efficiencies, and to really escalate their business and take it to the next level, now it's connecting it back to the dealer. Because, I mean, I was a dealer for 25 years. The biggest opportunity and biggest problem, right, which to me, any problem is an opportunity, looking for a solution. The biggest opportunity was always, how do I have enough resources? Because that's what a technician or a vendor is, right? Anybody who I'm writing a check or interacting with to get my car sold is somebody I need to be able to manage efficiently. So how do I add infrastructure without adding cost? How do I have the ability to work with five detail companies or five key companies when I need, but not have them bothering me all the time when I don't? How do I bring them on board, but not have to fire them? Right? Because I mean, everybody would love to have 10 detailers in the back, but that doesn't make dollars and cents because sometimes you have slowdowns. Sometimes you don't have as much inventory. So how do you not deal with all the headaches, but still be able to have access? Well, that's where access to those 16,000 plus strong comes in. You know, if I'm very fortunate where I'm working a plan and I'm, you know, using this ecosystem and I'm getting much better at acquiring vehicles, maybe today, you know, I set out to buy 5 or 10 cars, but I ended up with 22. How many times does a dealer not buy the 22 because they know they can only handle 10? Well, that's a lack of opportunity. You're not taking advantage of the opportunity. Through those vendors and our platforms working together, now you can throttle up. And if you need 10, 11, 12, whatever, of whatever that job to be done is,
yeah,
you connect to them in a meaningful way where you add value on both sides, use them with the correct understanding of what that job is, almost like the Uber effect, right? The Uber vendor of being able to, and we're calling it the repair exchange, but be able to bring them in, these vetted resources, utilize them, get your cars through that reconditioning process, which downstream and upstream has huge effect, you know, on what we spend, how much time it takes, and what we can afford to buy, and really what we should be buying.
Now, right now, at this juncture of the podcast, people that are listening in their cars or listening in the office have stopped doing everything that they were doing while they were listening to this and like, what? I can buy as many cars as I want, use you and this repair network, and have 20, 30,000 people at my disposal?
Yeah, well, just remember though, I mean, let's be very real. These are car people. So whether you're in variable or fixed ops, it all comes down to executing a plan, right? Having the information up front. So if we take it back to that first step, so like fixed ops, obviously you've been using OBD2 scanners for a long time. So diagnostics is really nothing new. But now through Blue Driver Max, now imagine not just using that diagnostic tool as part of your service lane, your MPI, or your check-in, but now put it in the hands of your other people, because we all work together at the dealership, right? Put it in the hands of your appraisers, your people who are actually buying the cars, to be able to correctly diagnose, scan a vehicle for its current health, its previous life. I mean, you're really opening up the books and seeing what was done, what was hidden, to be able to come up with the right estimation to then be able to come up with the right value for that vehicle. Because at the end of the day, we want to buy every car. I mean, yeah. There is not a car that you should ever utter the words, I do not want this. But what I do hear a lot of dealers say is, I cannot afford to keep this. Now, really what they're saying is, because of my lack of resources or my lack of understanding of what it really takes to get this car retailable, wherever you're going to retail it, they would rather walk away. And that just, you can't do that anymore. So now it's about correct estimation, using real information, coming up with a real go-to-market strategy, and then using that information to bring it into your system, acquire it, understand who the best end user is and what you should do. You know, maybe I'm going to sell this car as a CPO, or maybe, you know what, I can shave off $300, $400 in my total cost of ownership, that reconditioning cost and that timeline, right, my daily holding cost together, and I should sell it as a UCI because I can't afford to sell it as a CPO. Either one has wonderful information that it's going to come from that, right? Because I'm going to sell it. I'm going to look at the profit I make. I'm going to align with my service department around real information. I'm going to help them become more efficient. They're going to be happier to interact with me. They're going to use the tools to interact with the third-party vendors as well as you can too. But at the end of the day, that data will provide you that information of what's really happening beneath the sheets. You know, are we missing out on trade-ins, not putting together new and used car deals, you know, spinning our wheels at the auctions because our cost is out of whack or our timing's out of whack? Whatever is out of whack will come up. So we have to have that information.
I love this. Okay.
So, I'm all about the logistics. The logistics.
Speaking of used cars, acquiring used cars has been really, really difficult over the past couple of years. It's been a very big hot topic. How does your product help dealers acquire and sell more used cars?
So that goes back to that, you know, using our tools and really understanding at the end of the day that your job at the dealership is to buy and sell cars, not appraise cars, not appraise and pass on cars. It's to buy and sell cars because that's the engine that brings inventory into your dealership, right? And then now when you think about, you know, new cars coming back, right? I'm driving by dealerships and they have inventory, which puts even additional stress on their fixed ops departments to be able to handle their own internal customer. So if you think about buying and selling cars and really just the acquisition piece, because of the way the market has changed over the last handful of years for a number of reasons, right? We don't need to belabor that. Right. It's never been a point of not wanting to buy cars. It's just to a point of understanding that it's very precise. You can't just wing it. You can't appraise a car. Well, you can't start off saying, hey, I need five. You need to be much more targeted and say, hey, I need five, but this is the mix and this is the type of vehicle because of my market, because of my cost to do business, and because of that seasonality, that time of year. So you start off much more targeted using data, but then being able to look at the different products and say, okay, if this is what I have access to right now, what's my best use of my money? How can I get this car frontline ready through the reconditioning process, interacting with all those different people, and get it sold in a very timely manner? Because now you feed into that whole, you know, what we used to have a 60-day turn policy. The brass tacks today is if you're not retailing the vast majority of your inventory within 30 to 35 days, you're losing money. Yeah. You're just doing it for fun. I mean, you're selling cars for fun. And I can tell you what, it's not much fun when you're not making money because your cost to do business ate all the profit.
Yeah.
So the key is if you're going to really say, hey, look, we're going to put a real push on acquisition, be able to diagnose cars up front. That's that blue driver max, right? Understand the current health. So that way you can come up with correct estimates as part of your appraisal to help improve your look to book. Or if you see your look to book drop, you can start to point to your costs and those things. You know, maybe you're wrong about what it really takes to recondition, and then be very targeted because your job's to buy everything, but then it's what's the best way to dispose of it. Do I take it in, repackage it a little bit, spend a lot more, but align efforts to increase your sell through rate to allow you to go buy more cars? Mm-hmm. That's how you attack acquisition in today's market.
Yeah, I really love this. So obviously all my experience from in the car business is the service department, right? So we talk about your inventory is time. You're selling time. Right?
That's the only commodity you have in fixed ops is your time.
Yeah. So now listening to you speak, I'm like, well, yeah, the same thing is in sales. Mm-hmm. That car, if you don't sell that in this block that you say, you're losing money, right? I never realized that. So their floor plan, if you will, is their inventory, and they need to sell that floor plan in order to get more inventory and turn that around. So the faster they're able to do it, the more profitable they are, right? I think this is just this is amazing, right? So
yeah, it's not just floor plan, really, and this is where the market's changed so much from when I got in the business 30 years ago to today, and it's very exciting. I mean, this isn't a negative. This is really pushing dealers and software providers like ourselves to really think outside the box and think about what that job to be done is, which is to make money, right? How we make money is from buying and selling cars, buying, reconditioning, servicing, and selling cars. But looking at how the market's changed, when you think about, okay, great, I've got my cost to use some money. That's your floor plan. That could be we pay cash, but you also have to keep track, that other bookend, which is the market. We've seen market, you know, it just varies, goes up and down, and go down by segments and go down by months. I mean, there's just so many different factors. So it's always a matter of what is the right vehicle for me? Not what's the right vehicle. What's the right vehicle for me at my dealership based on my cost to do business, based on my infrastructure, based on what I can actually deliver? Because you have to make that determination up front of should you get into it. You still want to buy it, but you want an accurate appraisal, a real appraisal. And sometimes you're not the best end user. Sometimes it is way better to, you still have to put that deal together. You still want to take that car in, but understand where you can afford to play and where you can't. But the flip side of that is if you correctly capture that information, do that correct Blue Driver Max diagnosis scan, right? Up front, diagnostic scan. And then real information, then based on how many cars you take in and the ones you take in, how well you execute against that appraisal strategy, because that's a go-to-market strategy, is a correct appraisal, and how well, like say through Repair 360, did you get the job done of interacting with your vendors, your own internal service department, and get that car through the process and sold? That information will give you everything you need to go back and revamp your appraisals of what you can spend and where you can play and what you should be playing in. But without it, you're guessing. I mean, you're just winging it. And again, in today's market, you cannot afford to do it. It's a fool's errand to do it with software technologies like what we have brought to market.
So would you say that's your most important element to success in acquiring and turning used vehicles this year?
Yes. It's knowing the data, understanding what creates the data, because, I mean, I've been appraising for years. I'm a licensed auctioneer and appraiser. If I'm training an appraiser and I cannot pull up an appraisal and see a clear step-by-step reconditioning plan of what they said the market is, what they said has to be done, and I can't balance those numbers and make it make sense, how can I go back and review and help them improve their look to book or get better? How can I improve their use of the software tools, the technologies we provide? So everybody has to do their job in a clear and transparent way. Mm-hmm. And again, just like you mentioned earlier, my epiphany was that, you know, I was brought up selling cars, you know, from the sales side, hearing about how bad service takes advantage of us, right? How bad it is and how much headache and friction. At the end of the day, my epiphany was that there is no difference between the sales or service side on what they want. They just want to make money. They want to enjoy their job, and they want to have meaningful interaction. That doesn't mean, you know, bug me all the time. It's just clear and transparent communication. I want easy access to tools that are going to help me be more efficient in my time, because fixed ops sells time, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Sales, you're now selling time. How efficiently can you get a vehicle in and sold? You are selling time. The vehicle of that sale is the actual car, right? So they both want the same things. Now you can use technology to bring them together and really understand how to make the most money at your dealership.
Wow. So now we've talked about sales and everything, and you kind of touched upon fixed ops. What are some challenges you see for our fixed ops departments currently nationwide?
So, you know, of course, you think generally fixed ops, you know, in service departments, you think of two different clients. You think of your own internal used cars, and then you think of clients off the street. And you always hear, and you always will, right? How do we balance that load, right? Because if you don't take care of that customer who comes in for the oil change off the street, then they go somewhere else. They're not going to wait. We know that they're not going to wait. And then you may lose that opportunity for them to come back and either do more service with you down the road or shop you for their next newer used car, which is a very vital concern. And then you have your internal customer who needs a steady supply of clean, reconditioned vehicles. And we make a lot of money in fixed ops off our own internals, right? And it's a wonderful captive audience. I think the greatest opportunity moving forward is adding clarity and transparency for both customers. So the customer of today if we just say the customer off the street, right, the retail customer, their tastes, what they expect has completely changed. And it should, right? And it's going to help us elevate our game. But they want the touchless interactions. They want to be able to schedule via their phone or mobile application. They want the understanding of your general costs and all that information in a clear and transparent way without asking for it. That's number one, right? They want to feel comfortable. They don't want to see a dirty inspection sheet where it just says oil leak. Show me a video. Mm. Show me a picture. Those are huge opportunities that are still just the surface has been scratched. But remember, I think it's the same for both. So if now you flip the script and say, okay, well, if my internals, who I average more hours per RO than my customer off the street, right? But both have different value propositions and I have to manage both. What is your own internal used car department asking for? They're saying, hey, look, I got a lot of stuff I have to manage. I have to appraise a million cars. I have to buy a million cars. I should be working my sales team. Make it easy. Surface the estimate through my phone in a very easy way. Tell me what needs done, but don't tell me over the phone that it has a oil leak and I need to spend $1,500. Show me a video of it. So that way I can hold you accountable and you can hold me accountable. Now that sounds like, hey, you know, it's just a blame game. It's not. It's bringing the siblings together who have always sat in the back and yelled at each other, and whoever yelled loudest, the parent paid attention to. It's just bringing everybody together in a meaningful way, the way they want to be engaged with. Hey, stay in your sweet spot, I'll stay in mine.
Yeah, so often we talk about the customer experience, right? We talk about how we're going to better serve our customers, how we're going to make it easier for our customers. But you're absolutely right. If we don't make it easy to do business with us internally, well, yeah, we should be talking about that too.
Absolutely. And think about the fixed ops directors and the fixed ops opportunity very high on a pedestal because of how much worth they bring to the dealership. And quite honestly, they can make or break a dealership. We know that, right? So if a fixed ops department is trying, as they always have, I mean, they've been managing time since time began, right? It's just now sales is really starting to fully understand that impact of time on how they make money and how they can make more money. So now go back and put yourself in the fixed ops manager's mindset and saying, hey, I need to balance a finite amount of resources, at least before the repair exchange and what we brought to market. But still, you only have so many service technicians and the market's changing. You have new cars coming in. You need to do PDIs. I need to balance my customer off the street and my own internal used cars. There are no more technicians coming. Everybody needs more qualified technicians, and it's getting harder and harder to hold on to them. Mm. So the only option we have is get more efficient in allocating resources internally. So how do we find more hours in a set number of hours? Well, that's by using software like Blue Driver Max, Repair 360, and the Repair Exchange and saying, hey, you know what? What used to take me 2 hours to get an approval for an estimate, if I drop that by 1 hour, that's one more hour I can be turning a wrench somewhere else. Yeah. If I can shorten the amount of time it takes me to do an average UCI or CPO by X, that means I can get 1.2 more used cars in today without bringing on more infrastructure. Or look at how am I plotting out tomorrow, next day, Saturday, right? What's the best way to attack the opportunity, which is not turning anybody away? Well, now you have a repair exchange. Sublets are nothing new to a fixed ops department. They bring in diagnosis and diagnostic specialists all the time.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you open it up? Because at the end of the day, the customer really doesn't care who turns the wrenches. They're coming to you, and based on the name on the building and your reputation, they're saying, just get it done. You know, don't show me how you made the cake. I just want to eat it. So use the resources that are available. Use those tools we brought to market and take your unfair advantage of what's out there to do.
Hmm. So you brought this up a little while ago is merging those two departments together to get along, the thing from the same hymn book. What's one thing that you've seen that works that you can bring variable and fixed ops teams together to ensure that they're working towards that same goal that you want?
So the most powerful thing I believe you can do, which most people normally in their minds, and I know car guys, they're going to immediately go, oh, he's going to talk about aligning pay scales. That's not easy to align pay scales to motivate people to play well together. I think it's at a higher level. You have to first start with the data. You bring your team, because remember, I always point back to the name on the building because it's never been my name. So we all work for the same person, right? How do we buy and sell more cars? How do we do more together, interact in a more efficient and better way rather than yelling and have all that friction? So it's all data. So if we make sure that we are capturing all the information from every touch point and then regular weekly reconditioning meetings, like pulling up, hey, every Friday, every Monday, probably Monday be a little bit better, Monday or Tuesday, start the week, right? Every Monday or Tuesday for an hour, we're going to bring together all the interested parties, fixed ops and sales, and we're going to bring them together around, hey, this is how many cars we acquired, this is how many cars we took in trade. This is what we believed we were going to spend, and this is what we end up spending in time and money. That's different. It's not just I spent $1,000 in reconditioning. It's I spent $1,000 in 12 days.
Wow.
Think about it. You got to think about it a lot deeper because service already thinks that way. It's how many hours can I turn in a day? If I'm there 10 hours, I want to turn 30, you know, that type mentality. So now you bring all those interested parties together where they both have a voice and they can say, hey, they can find opportunities. They can cry foul if it's really needed. But at the end of the day, you have to have meaningful dialogue. You have to say, hey, if we're all in this together and I need you to turn wrenches and service says, hey, I need you to buy cars, then we align our efforts for our acquisition strategy. We have a reconditioning process in place that we're constantly evolving and changing. And then we have a go-to-market strategy. How are we selling these? Hey, I'm having a little bit of trouble here. You know, what's your day look like? What's your week look like? And all of a sudden, you're really engaging and talking and you're finding paths forward that were never there. Now you want to talk about look-to-book skyrocketing and the number of hours you're getting per RO. And the biggest takeaway is that I've never had this turn into the used car department saying I need to spend less. Because that for the first time, they really understand what they're spending money on.
I like that. So, Mike, we're right up against the time, but how can people get in touch with you?
So, of course, you can go to our website, Repair on Demand. And, you know, I'm very excited. I've been in this industry for a long time, and I definitely have, you know, a pretty interesting background. So I understand both sides of the fence. And it is very special what we've brought to market and in a meaningful way to the dealer. And whether it's fixed ops or service, we're in it together. So visit our website, reach out. You're, of course, always welcome to reach out to me because I love engaging with dealers and talking to dealers. And it doesn't matter what the position is. As long as I can add worth to the conversation, I want to have it. And I'll tell you if I can't bring worth, but raise your hand, reach out to us.
Mike, what are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind? Someone in the service department or an agent or someone at the dealership can take away from this episode?
Yeah, so there's so many, right? But to boil it down to three, I think it comes down to use real information. So use data, invest in the right tools. So and that was that Blue Driver Max, right? The industry leading diagnostic tool. Repair 360. So you have a platform that everybody who interacts in and around reconditioning can see what each other are doing so we can find opportunities that maybe your line of sight never gave you, but to collectively we can get better. And then at the end of the day, take action, because it doesn't matter how great your plan is if you don't press go and hold people accountable.
Yeah.
So those perfect. To me, those are the three most critical elements.
Love
Use
that.
Real Thanks, information, man. Come together in a meaningful way, and then take action on the plan.
I love that. That's perfect. Thank you. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Mike, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.